Evening and happy Thanksgiving. It is so good to be with all of you today as we join together in this service of worship and praise. It is good to be here as we remember the many gifts and blessings of our God, the gifts temporal and eternal, the gifts that are physical and spiritual. It is clear that we have a giving God, and it's good to be together as we join together with one voice. Let us do so now, singing our first hymn, number 797. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. He snatched us away from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He gives food to all living things, for his steadfast love endures forever. To the God of heaven, give thanks, for his steadfast love endures forever. In all things we give you thanks and join with creation's song. Great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. We confess our sins together. Gracious Creator, you have given us so much, but too often we have taken your gifts for granted, or we have taken them as things to which we are entitled. You have called us to live in caring community and to share your gifts with those around us. But too often we have failed to use your gifts rightly. For all the times when we have mistreated and misused your gifts, for all the times we assume that we get what we have by ourselves, forgive us and lead us back to the path of wisdom. Dearly beloved, our God is a gracious giver, and God is gracious in forgiveness. He has given even his own Son to die for you so that you may receive mercy. We are a forgiven people, washed in the blood of Christ and clothed in his righteousness. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our first reading is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Look carefully, then, how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
may be seated. In 1863, that is when Thanksgiving became an official national holiday. Abraham Lincoln signed it into a law, if you will. But it's interesting, though, to see his reasoning for doing so. I mean, the first Thanksgiving celebrated by the pilgrims, it occurred around 250 years earlier. So why all of a sudden does Lincoln decide then to make it an official holiday? In one sense, it seems rather random, as if it just came out of nowhere. Well, I'm sure there were many more significant reasons for why Lincoln did so, but one reason comes to us by his own hand. For in 1863, he writes something along these lines, saying, "This past year has been filled with blessings of abundant crops and good weather. And we've received many other blessings as well. And yet," he continues, "these blessings are so regular that we often forget where they come from. We must be reminded of God's love. And we must respectfully and gratefully recognize these gifts as come from Him." Now, that is a very loose paraphrase, but nonetheless, Lincoln had a keen insight, I would say, into human nature. For how true those words are, that we often forget to give thanks to God, especially for those blessings that come so regularly. How prone we are, dear friends, to take all of those regular, constant blessings for granted. You know, when a man is poor and hungry, and when food is scarce, you can find a man thankful for even the simplest of meals. When scarcity abounds, people can rejoice over rice and beans. But when prosperity abounds and food becomes common, even when we have elegant meals with variety and flavor, how we can nonetheless grow cold in thanksgiving? Or how about when someone is sick? How thankful they are to God for but a few hours of unbroken sleep. And when we've been sick, how our hearts have rejoiced to have but these short seasons of rest. But again, when healthy, how we can wake up after a full night's sleep, taking no notice of it whatsoever. Is it not a strange thing to see men growing colder in Thanksgiving? Growing colder as God's mercies shine hotter and hotter upon them. It's sad to see that when blessings are piled high, the heart wastes away. And when man grows rich in mercies, how often he grows poorer in thanksgiving. And truly, what's even more, even when we are thankful, how sad it is to see what we tend to show our thanks towards. Because again, it's human nature that we rarely actually thank God. So often, even when we do rejoice, we often rejoice in what we would call a stroke of luck. We give praise to luck, to good fortune, and to chance. Instead of praising God, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, we often stop short of Him, somehow managing to leave Him out of the equation, somehow opting to praise some impersonal beings or some naturalistic forces instead of praising the living God. We praise circumstances. Or perhaps even worse yet, we often praise ourselves, giving credit to our own abilities, to our own hard work and choices, taking all the credit of our success and joys. It seems like anything is more suitable for us to praise than God is himself. I like how it's been said that an unthankful person is a devourer of mercies, and he is a grave to bury them in. You know, all year round, every hour of every day, God is richly blessing us. Both while sleeping and in waking, his mercies wait upon us. Though the sun may leave off shining, our God, though, never ceases to cheer his children with his love. But rather, like a river, his loving kindness is always flowing with a fullness as inexhaustible as his own nature. His blessings, it can be likened to that of the atmosphere. As the atmosphere is always surrounding the earth, always ready to support the life of man, so too does the benevolence of our God. Though perhaps much of God's gifts are invisible to the naked eye, or at least they're invisible to the blind sight, the blind spots of our carnal reasoning, God's grace, though, it always surrounds us. It's always there in its immensity. It covers us in its faithfulness. It submerges us in its depths. And it surrounds us constantly in the rich density of its blessings. And that is why, dear friends, we must endeavor to keep a thankful remembrance of God's gifts. His benefits are innumerable and constant. And we ought not to allow our minds to forget even one of those blessings. Forget not all his benefits, the psalmist said this evening. Dear friends, we ought to write our mercies down and never forget them. Write them in marble if you can. Or write them at least in pen and paper if you must settle for that. But by no means, dear friends, should we let the mercies of God towards us be forgotten. This past week I came across this very reasoning for why it's important to keep a journal. Because forgotten memories bear no fruit. A bad memory of God's gracious gifts, it leaves the heart barren of praise. A person can't rightfully thank God for his mercies if they can't even remember the blessings which God has poured out upon them. We ought to then write them down. We must record them. Because not even a memory of brass is able to keep and retain all of his gifts. To give God the praise and glory he deserves, we need these external helps to remember his benefits. The scriptures elsewhere call God's mercies showers of blessings. And just as it is impossible to number the raindrops in a spring shower, so is it to recount all of God's mercies. Again, with all of this, it is good and wise practice then that we would use all of the helps that we can muster that will help us to remember God's benefits towards us. Again, write them down. Keep a journal. The Israelites, to their great shame, they did forget their God. First, by forgetting his mercies towards them, and then secondly, forgetting him altogether. But it begins by forgetting his mercies. It was their own fault that they forgot. It was their own lack of remembering, their own failing to call to mind and writing it down, failing to watch and pray. It was their own failure that led to their utter collapse. To write your mercies down purely upon the sand of your mind will not benefit you on the day of your next trial. For when the tide of affliction next buffets your life, God's mercies will be forgotten. Again, if written upon the sand of your own mind, your memories will be washed away in the next storm. And then, what will keep you anchored to your God? What will be left? It's hope that keeps the faith unwavering. It's remembering that God is still good. It's remembering past mercies that shall keep us close in the day of trouble. And that is why it's important, dear friends, that we would store up these memories in ways that'll help us to never forget. For when we remember God's blessings, then we can feed upon them. In the hour of adversity, our souls will find comfort when we are able to call to mind again God's undying faithfulness. If we can but remember all of the promises of God, all of the faithfulness of him, the unwavering resolve of the Almighty. Again, if we can but remember all his benefits, the psalmist says, then we will be able to stand firm in the day of trial. When Job was on the trash heap scraping his sores, the only thing that kept him from cursing God and dying, as his wife suggested, was that he forgot not God's kindnesses of old. But as it were, with a knife to his throat, he said, "Though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him." What a wonderful practice it would be for every Christian brother and every Christian sister to keep a detailed record of God's kindnesses and to look and use them often so as to give the proper thanks and praise to the Lord. And to be honest, I'm preaching to myself this evening as well. But I, for one, much desire to keep a catalog of both the mercies that God has given me and a catalog of my sins. The latter to repent of and to be reminded constantly of God's grace. And the former, so that I can faithfully give him thanks and praise. Remembering daily, most of all, that God did not owe us anything. Why should the eternal God so strongly bind himself to me with cords of unbreakable promises? Whatever the reason was for him, dear friends, it is our duty now to praise him with the most heartiness of thanksgivings. For we are recipients of his great love that has no end. His love that has no gaps, no break in its lineage. It has no limits, for he has come to heaven, from heaven to earth, to meet your most every need. giving his own life and his all for you, to forgive you of your sins, loving you and carrying you to heaven through the giving of himself and his all. His loving mercies may reach even those who are most far off, both able and desiring to save to the uttermost all who call upon his name. Dear friends, forget not all his benefits, but remember them often. Thank and praise him for his loving kindness endures forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 814. Would you please stand and join me in prayer? We pray using that first page of our insert. For our families, friends, and pets, for our happy memories, for our favorite things, and for rest, we thank you, Lord. For joys, successes, achievements, and accomplishments, we thank you, Lord. For health, safety, work, and leisure, we thank you, Lord. For struggles, sorrows, trials, and sufferings, for all the ways we have grown up in strength and maturity, we thank you, Lord. For our jobs, for those who support us, for our education, and for the chance to serve, we thank you, Lord. For our gifts, talents, and abilities, for honors, for strength and energy, we thank you, Lord. For our homes, for food, warmth, and shelter, for all the things that have made us happy. We thank you, Lord, for our nation, for freedom and peace, for teachers, leaders, and those who give us a good example. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to say, I'm sorry, for the grace of repentance, for the forgiveness and generosity of others. We thank you, Lord, for the trust others put in us, for tenderness, understanding, and compassion. We thank you, Lord, for kindness, goodness, joy, and laughter, for the times we have helped others or made them happy. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonders of creation, for beauty, music, sports, and art, for new opportunities and second chances. We thank you, Lord, for renewed hope and for the providence and protection you give us. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son and for his blood poured out. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and the promise of the life to come. We thank you, Lord, for these and for all your gifts which you so freely bestow upon us. We thank you, Lord. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 806.